Hello, this is Nikki Toyamasito. I'm the Executive Director of Christians for Social Action and your host for today's episode of 20 Minute Takes. Today we talk with Dr. Ruth Padilla DeBorst. She's a professor at Western Seminary in Michigan and also a part of the networking team for Infamit. She talks to us about intentional community and ecological justice and how that looks like lived out at Casa Adobe. Join us for this conversation. Ruth Padilla DeBorst, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of 20 Minute Takes.
It's a privilege to be with you, Nikki.
I know that there are multiple places that you call home or that you lay your head at night. Can you tell us a little bit about the place that you find yourself in today?
So currently, I'm in Casa Adobe, the intentional Christian community I'm a part of, along with my husband, James, and it is in Santo Domingo de Heredia, Costa Rica.
Oh, fantastic. And what is one of the things that when folks come and visit you in your home at Casa Adobe that that people remark about, or what is something that sort of surprises them?
So I guess obviously sharing life with other families and several volunteers and such is not something that everybody does. So that's definitely something that strikes people when they come. We're also very engaged in our neighborhood and particularly in care of our whole neighborhood, which to us includes humans and non-humans. So we're engaged in programs with composting and gardening and cleaning up the river and reforesting and these things. So it's kind of an extension of our community, recognizing ourselves as part of a broader community than the one we live with.
Mm-hmm. And which of those things came first, or did they kind of come up together? This covenanting to an intentional community of people, or this rethinking your relationship to the created environment that you're a part of?
Yeah, I think we did. We began more as recognizing ourselves along our intentional community and building that and praying for peers in a vision. But it's very connected. Living in community isn't just for the sake of the community. It's actually for the sake of others. And so economics probably came before ecology, in the sense that sharing a common pot for all our expenses and trying to live more simply and to reduce our footprint kind of all built in almost organically from the beginning, in the vision, but then the articulation and the concrete action and the advocacy and such kind of grew out of that to extend to the broader neighborhood.
Yeah, that's fascinating. You've hinted at some of the practices, some of the ways that you are all showing up as part of intentional life. Can you unpack a little bit of, you've referenced this communal pot. I know there's an intentional living component. Can you tell us a little bit about what some of those look like just on a practical day-to-day basis?
Yeah. So we're several families and several single people. So right now we're 14 people sharing one house and neighbors who have built, we've built a little door into the wall. So they live in their own house, but they come and go as if they lived in the big house. And our days begin with morning prayer. We take turns leading it. Whoever's leading morning prayer probably is the one who will prepare dinner for everybody. So after morning prayer, people go about their business, their work inside the house or beyond outside and such. But dinner is always a sit-down meal together, offered by one of the members of the community. Once a week, we have a kind of community meeting where we deal with everything from the faucet is broken to so-and-so wants to come visit to I'm going to be traveling to, you know, whatever kind of businessy kind of time. But then we also share a Sunday reflection time, mm-hmm. biblical reflection, contextual reflection. And that is people participate who don't necessarily live with us. Mm-hmm. It's a broader time. And that also ends with a big community dinner. So it could be 25, 30 people sharing dinner together. So whoever takes the Sunday turn at cooking has a bigger challenge than during the week.
That's fantastic. And how long has the community been together?
It's gone through phases, obviously, you know, developing, but it began around 14 years ago.
Some of what I really admire is that there's a way that I have heard people try to engage with this idea of an intentional community, and it tends to work well for maybe people in a certain stage of life, but the ability to stay committed over a longer period of time or the ins and outs of people coming into the community and going out. Are there a couple of observations that you have or about ingredients that make something like this commitment to intentional community a very fruitful experience?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think one of the key things is being very realistic. Mm-hmm. It's too easy to just kind of love the idea of yes. of community, but then when it comes down to actually sharing a kitchen and sharing everyday stuff, it becomes more of a challenge. And so there's my husband likes saying, you know, everybody wants to dream the revolution or the community or whatever, but who's going to wash the dishes? And so just the very practicalities of life. If you're not very realistic and, you know, take on those things responsibly as part of the whole package, then you'll be in trouble. And so also that means, for example, if somebody wants to come, we have clearer parameters now about what conditions people come in with, what our expectations are regarding the person entering and what they can expect from the rest of us. Mm-hmm. And we have kind of categories of belonging and such. And so people have to kind of come in and submit to that, those expectations. We also do trial periods. We don't just say, okay, come and belong forever, but let's give it a try. Let's see if it works for you and for us. Uh-huh. You know, like you do when you date somebody, you don't just marry them instantaneously. You spend some time and get acquainted. And so we've learned through time some of these things that need to be put in place so that it's a healthy, and also clarifying, for example, we are not a therapeutical community. If you have serious clinical depression, we can accompany you, but we cannot intervene formally as a therapist would. So if you're going through that, it doesn't mean we're excluding you, but you need to get help from somewhere else because we won't be able to provide it. So we're realistic about what we can do and what we can't do.
Oh, that's fantastic. It sounds like this expectations, this clarity, but also a commitment that matches those expectations and commitment. Can you just take us a little deeper on some of those different categories of belonging and mm-hmm. how you, I think just to help us understand maybe some of the give and take that does happen and sort of the realistic expectations.
So I have to acknowledge a source. We have sought out accompaniment as a community because mm-hmm. we realize, you know, there's so much to learn, and there are people that have walked this trail before us and for much longer than we have. So we need to learn from them. So a community that we have gone to, appealed to for advice and accompaniment is Reba Place in northern Chicago. We came to know them through a book published by David Jansen called The Intentional Christian Community Handbook that compiles experiences from intentional communities of all sorts for many decades from different places. And Reba as a community has as one of its charisms, one of its gifts, accompanying other communities. So we've gone to them to say, hey, what would be healthy? You know, so this level of this thing about clarifying levels of belonging is something we gathered through David Jansen's book and the experience of Reba. And so we have people, we have a core who is committed longer term, and we have clarity, and we really are the ones that make the most longer term decisions together as a core. And that's only five people, two couples and a single person. And then maybe you're here for a period and you want it to, and so then we clarify, okay, you come, you have a question, and you commit to working through that question, probably with one of the people from the core. So there's a mentorship ingredient. And then their commitments about what they can expect from us. Is that accompaniment? And then maybe you're just a guest. Maybe you just come because you're curious about what it's like to live in community. And we don't impose the same expectations on that person. But of course, that would be a shorter term engagement with us. So it's kind of, I think it was David Jansen who uses the metaphor of an onion. We all belong, but we're at different circles of belonging.
Oh, no, I appreciate that. I think that's fantastic. You said earlier that the community is not there just for the sake of the community, but it's also there for the good of more than that. And part of how that's lived out at Casa Adobe is this ecological justice component. Can you tell me a little bit about what that looks like lived out in your community?
Yes. That is really a core of our, one of our kind of core commitments is we're not here just for us. We're not just a retreat space. We are a missional community. And so what does that look like? It means we want to be good neighbors, and good neighbors both to humans in our neighborhood. So we have a after school program, and we do a lot of community organizing, for the well-being of the general community, the neighborhood. And we also are very attentive to and responding to the needs of migrants and refugees. But we also see this tied in to recognizing that our neighborhood is more than just human. It includes the river, it includes the land, it includes the air we breathe. It is all part of this creation community. And so we for example, particularly in Lent, we are really digging into reducing our use of single plastics, single-use plastics. I mean, we do that overall, but in Lent, we're just even more intentional, trying to not purchase things that are wrapped in plastic, go with our own container to purchase in bulk or whatever. So that's one whole thing is reducing. The other obviously is recycling as much as able, but some of that recycling, for example, Costa Rica does have a pretty, pretty ambitious plans in terms of ecological sustainability. So we're able to make eco blocks with the, when we do have plastic, we can chop it up and put it in plastic bottles, and if it has a certain weight, they use them actually for construction. So that's a mode of recycling that's much more realistic than just the dream cycling that happens, you know, that where you think you're doing something and you actually aren't. So that's another. But then also, we garden. A couple of our members spend a lot of time in a very substantive garden, and we eat from our own produce. And then more broadly, we've done campaigns for cleaning up the neighborhood and bringing awareness to our neighbors, and then engaging them in river cleanup and planting trees on the side of the river. And now we're in a full-on advocacy campaign to construct a park on the side of the river for the well-being, both to restore the fauna and flora but also for the well-being of the neighborhood, because we're all tied in to this community of life that sustains us. So they're very they're not mutually exclusive endeavors, the human and the rest. It's all tied in together.
Oh, I think that's fantastic. How does your Christian faith inform how Casa Adobe is showing up in all of these different ways?
Totally, absolutely. It filters through the whole thing. It's our motivation is recognizing that we are created by a good God who wants full life for all of creation, full life for these children who are at risk because of poverty and lack of educational opportunities, but also abundant life for the birds that are coming around and for the migrants who are coming through Central America. So we're committed when we see ourselves as part of God's work in God's world. And so that's what kind of motivates us and keeps us going, even when sometimes the challenges seem so insurmountable. So being an intentional community in a way is saying we don't just go to church, we are church, we live church from Monday through Sunday. Mm-hmm. And we don't just see mission as something that happens out there, over there, but it's core to how we live. Our lifestyle is part of our mission. Reducing our carbon footprint by sharing as a community. Instead of having five microwaves, there's one we share, one washer for all the families, which if we lived independently, we would each have our own probably.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So we're reducing, so all of this is very much a part of saying we want to foster, contribute to God's work of making things good.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing that picture of Casa Adobe, of the life of your whole community there, and for your community sharing you with us to share the story. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, it's great to be with you. Thank you again.
Minute Takes is a production of Christians for Social Action. Our music was created by Andre Henry. And this episode was mixed and engineered by Willoza Media. If you liked this episode, spread the word by subscribing, reviewing, or sharing. I'm your host, Nikki Toyamasito. If you want to find out more about our work, visit the website at christiansforsocialaction.org.